chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. And all the children are dismissed to go with Miss Denise. Any other children want to go with Miss Denise today? All right. Stand as we read today's text. Matthew 15, verses 1 through 20. And you can read in your Bible along with me or follow it up on the screen or just listen. Verse 1, Matthew 15. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They do not wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if anyone wants to say, says to his father or mother, 'Whatever you would have received from me is a gift devoted to God,' he need not honor his father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah prophesied correctly about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. They teach as doctrine the precepts of men." Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. A man is not defiled by what enters his mouth, but what comes out of it." Then the disciples came to him and said, "Are you aware that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" But Jesus replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by its roots." Disregard them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit. Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." "Do you still not understand?" Jesus asked. "Do you not yet realize that whatever enters the mouth goes through the stomach and then is eliminated? But the things that come out of your mouth comes from the heart, and these are the things that defile a man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These are what defile a man. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile him." Father, I just pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you will just awaken our minds to hear your word and to put it into practice. Help us not just to be hearers of the word, but doers. Lord, we've been praying all year that you will help us to realign our priorities to yours, to realign the way that we think about people, the way that we treat people with how you treat people. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The year of 2020 vision. I have been challenged. I don't know about you, but this journey that we've been on since January 1st has been challenging to me. I've always tried to align my priorities with God's, but as I've been looking at it, we've been in this series from Genesis and now we're in Matthew, of looking at vision, looking at where the word sight is used. We started in Genesis 3, where Eve was motivated by sight. She saw that the fruit was good. And then we moved on from there to Abraham and Lot, and that Lot looked down upon Sodom and Gomorrah and said that it looked good, like paradise. I want that. And we know how that ended up. Then we looked at Isaiah, where Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord." And his response was, "I'm undone. I'm unclean. I live among a people of unclean lips." And he had an experience, an encounter with the living God. And his response was, "Help me to be the solution. Send me. Help me to bring about change. Help me to be the solution instead of the problem. And then we went on, and then we've gotten into the New Testament where we looked at the temptation of Jesus last week. And it was called the lust of the eyes. And how the lust of the eyes is a big part of America. Everything is about the lust of the eyes in our country. And you've got two spectrums of the lust of the eyes politically. You've got the lust of the eyes where there's never enough. People work themselves to death to get more. They work and they work and they strive and they accumulate. They stockpile because they want more. Nothing ever seems to satisfy. And you've got the other side of our political spectrum that looks at what other people have and say, hey, it's not fair that they have. I'm going to find a way to take it from them legally. And so you've got this clash between uncontrolled capitalism and uncontrolled socialism. But it's about the lust of the eyes, isn't it? It's about seeing what you want and saying, I'm going to find a way to get it, instead of being content with what God's given us and having a heart of generosity towards others. Amen? And so with that, we go into this passage. And the title of this sermon is Blind Guides. Again, we're talking about sight. We're talking about religious people that are so consumed with their religion that they're blind to what God wants to do in them. And I believe that this, in a nutshell, is where the American church has been in for two centuries. We've been consumed with this, where we're following the wrong people and we're looking at the wrong solution. I believe that I have been a part of this. In my journey, and not just as a pastor, but as a believer, that I came to Christ roughly when I was 14, 15 years old, and I sensed a call in my life. I have been flip-flopping on this whole thing of where to point the finger for change. And I used to be on a crusade. I remember picketing in the 80s, the pornography industry in Fort Wayne. You had different places, adult bookstores, and you had places that were selling and promoting pornography and all kinds of evil in these places. And I held signs, walking in circles, protesting, trying to shut them down. And we did. We shut them down. But like whack-a-mole, they popped up other places to the point that when you go to Fort Wayne, there's everything there. All that effort to change them didn't work. And I really have come full circle. And as we look at this, I want you, please, have a heart to be willing to change your perspective on who is the problem in our country. Is it them? Is it the evil pornographers? Is it the evil LGBT plus people? Or is it the religious? Who's the problem? Let's look at this. And it's Blind Guides is the title. Let's look at the details of this passage. The religious leaders came to Jesus with a complaint about his disciples. Verses 1 and 2. The Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem. Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands. Wow. Through Jesus, they were going to the poor people and healing them. Pharisees were looking down upon the ministry of Jesus. And they saw all the people being healed. They saw the tax collectors being turned around and becoming generous people and giving up ripping off the people. They saw prostitutes giving up their ways and becoming followers of Jesus Christ, where they were serving the church, making stuff with their hands and selling it to go towards Jesus in the ministry. They saw all this. And what is their main problem? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Wow. Brothers and sisters, I've seen the church do this. I've seen them do this. Where they see big pictures of lives being changed and they get so concerned. Yeah, but he's got a tattoo. Really? He's got piercings. She has a nose ring. Really? See, the religious, they got so hung up on the minuscule stuff that really isn't in Scripture. I still haven't had anybody show me in the Scripture where a tattoo is a sin for a Christian. Oh, Pastor, there's an Old Testament passage about tattoos for the dead. Yeah, tattoos for the dead. It was piercing your body to help save somebody's soul in the underworld. I'm sorry, when you see someone with a rose on their ankle, they're not tattooing to save somebody's soul. It's art. I'm sorry, I don't see it. Oh, but Pastor, there's this and this and this. The big picture is that God loves those people. And when you judge by this outward appearance, oh, they wear shorts to church. Or that woman has short hair. You know, the Bible says a woman's supposed to have long hair. All you short-haired ladies are heading to hell. It's not true. The outward things, washing your hands before you eat, not wearing dresses to church, women wearing pants, women wearing jewelry, women having short hair instead of long hair. It's the outward things that you get so hung up on. But God sees the heart, right? He doesn't look at a woman with long hair and think she's more holy than someone with short hair. Likewise with men, somebody who's got this wonderful bald spot that I have, as opposed to them long-haired hippie types. The church has been consumed with this, and they move from thing to thing to thing. Think about it, ladies, in your lifetime, what you've seen. Haven't you seen huge changes in churches regarding appearance? Haven't you? It really is the heart. God looks at the heart. Why have the church been so consumed on these appearances of how people appear? It's the same thing they get so hung up on, this tradition of washing your hands before you eat. Jesus criticized them for their hypocrisy regarding God's law and their religious culture. Look at verses 3 through 7. Jesus replied, "Wait a minute, you're breaking the command of God for the sake of your tradition." And he gives us an example of God said, honor your father and mother. And then he says, but you can say, I've devoted this money to God, so I don't have to give it to my parents. See, the oldest firstborn son was given a double inheritance. He was given twice as much as the other kids for the purpose of taking care of the parents when they got old. It was their responsibility and not the government's to take care of their family. And so they got the double inheritance to help take care of mom and dad, but the Jews gave them an out. They says, here we go. It's like a tax consultant. If you do it this way, you don't have to abide by that. And this is what you do. When you get your inheritance, go to the temple and make an arrangement with the priest. You slide them a little money and you say, when I die, you get all my money. So you've devoted it to God. Therefore, when your parents get old and sick, you pawn them off on somebody else because you don't have any money to take care of them because you gave it to God. You devoted it to the temple. When you die, therefore you are not expected to take care of your parents when they have a need because you have found this tax loophole to get out of it. And Jesus condemned them for it. They found a way to get by with honoring their father and mother with their inheritance by giving it to the temple when they would die, so therefore they don't have any money to take care of their parents. Jesus quoted from Isaiah regarding their words versus the condition of their hearts in verse 8. Verse 7, he calls them hypocrites. You hypocrites! Isaiah said correctly about you, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. They teach as doctrine the precepts of men. I've been asking you for almost 3 years now to separate your culture from what God really says. I've been encouraging myself to do that, and I tell you, it's painful. So much of the stuff I attribute to God is my own prejudices against people. It really is. And I don't want it turned against me. I don't want to get judged by my appearance, because there's things about me that people might see as offensive. And so I prefer grace when it guards to me. Why can't I give it to you? Amen? Again, it's turning it inwardly and saying, what does God want me to do? As opposed to pointing the finger at other people and saying, you're not doing it right. So much of our religion is not really scripture-based. It's our opinion-based. It's what we were taught. It's our prejudices masked in Christianity. I was in a Bible study one time. It started as a small group, but it grew crazy because all the families in this small group were homeschoolers. And we had 3 kids, but there were people in the group with 10 plus kids. Okay? And it was huge. The kids alone were like 30 plus kids. It was crazy. 30 plus kids. And there was teachings in the group where they had been part of this ministry that was teaching Old Testament standards of purity of race. And they started to go through this material to show us how we should never intermarry with black people because they're sons of Cain. They're sons of the evil son that would refuse to cover his father Noah when he was naked, and they got the mark on them. We should not intermarry with them. And it's like, really? I'm sorry, but Jesus clearly and Paul clearly wrote that in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. Why are we judging by race and saying I'm more important than they because of my skin color? Why am I more important than a woman? In Christ, there's neither male nor female. We're all sons of God. God doesn't have hierarchies of color and gender. In Christ, we're one. He sees us as the same. Why are we holding on to our past of what we were taught and how we see people? You see a black person, all of a sudden, you know all about them. You see a Hispanic person, oh, I know all about them. You see a fellow white person with your culture, I know about them. Really? See, if we're going to have 20/20 vision, we've got to give up those things that we have been taught and we have held on that are not biblical. They're our culture. And they've got to die to Jesus Christ if we're going to be what he wants us to be in this generation. Amen? We've got to give it up. Too many Christians are hanging on to things that they can't really justify in Scripture. And if they do, it's as weak as the argument that blacks are less important than whites according to this Ham doctrine of Ham not covering Abraham. Wow. Really? In Christ, your color doesn't matter anymore to him. Your gender doesn't matter anymore to him. You're either sons of God or you're not. Why can't we change that? Why do Christians have to hang on? And in this, where Jesus quoted from Isaiah regarding their words versus the condition of their hearts, Jesus called these religious leaders blind guides, verses 12 through 14. Then the disciples came to him and said, "Are you aware that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" Jesus offended the religious people all the time. And he did it on purpose. It was the religious people that he was the most upset at. Please, somebody quote to me somewhere in Scripture where Jesus goes to one of the many pagan temples in Israel and tear up the place. Please, can anybody quote one passage where he gets mad at the pagan temples that were all over the place in Israel? How about tell me one bar? Can you give me one example of a bar that he went into and tore the place up? Can you? No. He did tear up a place. Yeah, it was where the righteous were putting up standards to keep the Gentiles from hearing the word of God. It was the court of the Gentiles. It was where the God-fearers from around the world, the one place on the planet where they could come and hear God's word being taught and being preached and being proclaimed and being sung, and they couldn't hear a thing because it was a loud, stinky marketplace. And Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." And it made him mad. So tell me, in our Christian exuberance for purity in our nations, which would Jesus get the more upset at? The pagans doing their thing? Or the Christians holding on to what they've been taught and putting it above Scripture? See, it's a flip. I was taught the other way around. I was taught that I need to go on crusades to end all the paganry about around me. I need to clean up our government and get rid of all pagan stuff. And yet, Jesus did the other way around. His heart, he went after the religious for putting up standards to keep people from coming to God. One of the goals that I have, I want to get to heaven. Now, please listen to me. I want to get to heaven. I don't know if I'm going to do this or not, but it's my goal. I want to get to heaven and have no one that is refusing to come to heaven because I'm there. Please, make this your goal too. Oh, if that religious hypocrite is there, I really don't want to be there. Because all they're about is hate and pointing fingers and crusades against evil. But I didn't see the love in them. I didn't see the compassion that Jesus had towards the foreigner, towards the outsider, towards the sinner. Blind guides. He called the religious leader blind guides. Verses 12 through 14. Jesus replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by its roots. Don't listen to them. Disregard them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Jesus emphasized that the heart is more important than outward religious practices. Were you aware that the Bible clearly says that women are to have long hair? Were you aware of that? Were you aware that it's dishonoring for the man to have long hair? Were you aware of that? Wait a minute, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying culture changes. And the culture that Paul tried to enforce 2,000 years ago was appropriate for that generation. But I tell you, a woman having short hair does not mean she's a prostitute. That's what it meant in that day. It doesn't mean that anymore. Women wearing men's clothing. I tell you, it meant a lot about their character and their nature than it does today with women wearing pants. Culture changes. And those of you that have been in Christ for a while, you've seen it change. It's okay for women to have short hair because it doesn't mean they're a prostitute. It doesn't mean that they're loose. The culture has changed. Paul, when he said, I do not permit a woman to speak in our assembly. Well, back then, it was a submission issue. And the women back then were getting out of control in the church of Corinth. And he's trying to bring control for 2,000 years ago for their culture. That has changed. I permit women to teach in the church. Why? Because Paul said in Christ there's neither male nor female. Amen? If you've got the Holy Spirit and you've got a teaching gift, I want to find a way to use it. Amen? Who am I to argue with God if he gives a woman a gift? Oh, pastor, you're messing with my tradition. I've been taught this and this and this. Yeah, okay. But if we're going to get back to dress codes of the Bible, when it talks about head coverings, a woman is to have her head covered. It's not a little chiffon on your head, at which nobody's wearing one in this church right now. It was a full body covering. Your head covering was called a burqa. In Islam, they wear burqas. And it's head to toe. It's like what a nun wears. Okay? And for the women back then, it was just a little bit for their eyes so they could see when they walked. The rest of their body was totally covered. If you want to get back to biblical standards for dress, I expect all you women to be wearing burqas next Sunday. None of you are going to do it. I know you're not. Because the culture's changed in 2,000 years. Why? Because Paul said in Christ there's neither male nor female. And that has changed our culture. We don't view people by their sex or gender anymore. We see them as human beings first. Amen? And that's how God sees you first. It's realigning with how God sees people as opposed to what you've been taught. Your standards of purity and righteousness. Jesus emphasized the heart more than he did our outward religious practices. How does this affect our spiritual vision? We have to continue to sift through what is our culture and what the Scripture actually say. And I know that they had a culture 2,000 years ago and it was appropriate for them, but that has changed because of the Word of God. The Word of God in the West has changed us. And it's okay. But again, we've got to realign with what we've been taught and what we believe to be true as opposed to what Scripture actually says. Be aware of teachers that use Old Testament passages to justify prejudices and godly behavior. They're all hypocrites when they do that. Here's an example. You don't need to raise your hand, but how many men in this church trimmed their beard in the last year? Do you realize that trimming your beard in the Old Testament was evil? Do you realize that? It's in the same passage where it says women should not be wearing men's clothing. Huh? I trimmed my beard this morning. But that doesn't mean I'm unrighteous. When you meet teachers that are using the Old Testament rules and regulations to judge righteousness, they're all picking and choosing. Here's another one. If you were to look at the label on your clothes, how many of you are wearing polyester cotton blends today? You realize that the Bible forbid his people in the Old Testament from wearing clothing with more than one material in it? Hypocrisy. If you're going to get upset at a woman for having short hair or a woman wearing jewelry, culture changes. It's the heart that God's interested in. In Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. That's your race. That's your background. Male nor female, that's your gender. And then the other is your social economic situation, free or slave. God doesn't look at people that way. He looks at their heart. Amen? if we're going to align our lives with Christ, we've got to start seeing people from their heart and not how they look, not where they come from, and definitely not how they dress. If love is not the defining characteristic of a teacher, beware of them. And see, love seeks what is the highest good for the object that they love. Too many Christians are not communicating love when they're preaching against sinners. Point D. We must be willing to examine our own lives before we examine others. Matthew 7, verses 3 to 5. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but fail to notice the beam in your own eye? What is our beam? Our beam is our prejudices. Our beam is our culture that we were taught as righteous and unrighteous. That's the beam in a Christian's eyes in our churches across America. We have beams in our eyes as Christians. And we're going around trying to clean up the culture. Really? Really? That's not how God sees it. God wants the religious to get their act together first. Amen? Realigning how God sees things as opposed to what... How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye while there's still a beam in your own eye? You hypocrite. He uses that word again. A hypocrite was someone who pretended to be something they were not. It's what they called an actor back then. An actor was a Hippocrates, was a hypocrite. It was somebody pretending to be a Dust Bowl farmer when he really was just an actor from New York. That was a hypocrite. It was somebody playing out a play. Too many Christians were playing out a play. It's a religious play. And it's more our culture than what the Bible actually says. And we're playing it out. God bless you, my children. And inside, my heart's not there. I'm playing. I'm doing an act. And so he calls them out, you hypocrite. First take the beam out of your own eye, then you will see more clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Amen? It's got to start with us. Realigning our lives with what the Scripture actually says and put aside the culture things that you and I have been taught that too many people elevate above Scripture. To the point where they're more concerned about people's dress than they are about whether they know Jesus Christ or not. It's just another way of a marketplace in the court of the Gentiles. They come wanting to hear God, and we're telling them, you can't get in unless you do this first. We're not going to accept you unless you change to be like us first. Jesus would turn over our pews if we did that. He would get mad at us. And frankly, he'd probably be hanging out in the bars getting to know people. And oh boy, that offends Christians. It offended them back then too. You eat with sinners. You hang out with prostitutes. Tax collectors. Don't you know who these people are? And finally, we have to have our hearts pure before God. And only Jesus Christ can do this. But it starts with humility. There's people sitting in our pews that they're so perfect on the outside. But if you don't have Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter how good you are. You're a reprobate in the eyes of God. You are unclean and going to be punished for eternity if you don't have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Period. Oh, but Pastor, I've never taken a sip of alcohol in my life. I've never smoked. I've never gone to bad movies. I've never even played cards. Really? So what? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, you are heading to hell and there's no hope for you. But I've been baptized. I was baptized at 13, Pastor. I grew up in a Christian church. I did all the religious things. I'm sitting here in my best Christian behavior garb. I'm good. Well, if you haven't had a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, you are not good. He proclaims that our righteousness is filthy rags before Him. That's how He sees us, when we're not clothed with His Son, Jesus Christ. Please don't let your pride take you to hell. But Pastor, if I came clean and said I've never received Jesus Christ and I get rebaptized, oh, everybody's going to point the finger at me and they're going to say, oh, I can't believe it. That's the price you've got to pay for salvation, is you've got to humble yourself and admit you need a Savior just like everybody else does. That's what God's waiting for in our churches. He's waiting for those that have been play-acting as Christians to come clean and to come to Him. It's not ridding the world of LGBT+. It's those that have been play-acting coming to Christ. And the Holy Spirit's going to get poured out on our land, and we're not going to be able to deal with all the massive revival that's going to take place, because it's got to start with us taking the planks out of our eyes. Amen? Here am I. Send me. Lord, I thank You for this message. I pray, God, if there's anyone in this room, even good people, but they've never given their life to You. They've never surrendered lordship over to You. I pray, Lord, that they will hear this word and that Your Holy Spirit will do a work in their heart and they will come clean before You. Lord, help me to continue to pull out the planks out of my eyes, where I see things through my culture and through my prejudices instead of through Your eyes. Help me to start getting so mad at the world for being worldly and turning a blind eye to all the Christians that are involved in slander, gossip, backbiting, half-truths to win arguments. Because, Lord, they're in the same list as homosexuality in the Bible. Help me, God. Help me to come clean. Help me to be what You want me to be. I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said. Now stand with me as we sing today's last song.